just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. Stop holding your breath and take in some air as Backtime gives a collective sigh of relief over these close calls that happened on September 5th. The Secret Service breathed a little easier in 1975 as they stepped between Gerald Ford and an attempt on his life by Lynette Squeaky Fromm in Sacramento. Nobody got hurt. The feud was over in 1976, and we all breathed a bit easier when Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis reunited on Jerry's Labor Day telethon. Hundreds of past and future tennis stars took a deep breath and relaxed because they knew they wouldn't have to beat tennis sensation Chris Evert. She retired today in 1989. That's Back Time for September 5th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's Vinny Penn with your 760, the past 7 days in 60 seconds. David Duchovny checked into rehab for sex addiction. If you're one of the 14 people who saw the latest X-Files movie, you know the one thing he's not addicted to is a good script. Movie trailer voice guy Don LaFontaine passed away. The services were...
In a funeral home that brought you Heath Ledger's wake with a eulogy from the writers of Terms of Endearment.
Britney Spears will open this weekend's VMAs. MTV says Britney will do something fun and unexpected. Like what? Read her kids a bedtime story? The new 90210 premiered Tuesday and set a ratings record for the CW, instantly catapulting the network somewhere between C-SPAN 2 and ESPN Deportes. Finally, Sarah Palin got high marks for her speech at the GOP convention, taking a couple shots at Obama before she wrapped it up, which reminds me of someone else who should have wrapped it up, her daughter's boyfriend. Oh! I'm Vinny Penn, and that was your 760.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
We all enjoy going on vacation, but you enjoy reminding everyone at the office every 10 minutes that your vacation is just weeks, then days, then hours, then minutes away.
Yes, we're counting down to...
Why do you, Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy, think the entire accounting department gives a flying rip about the precise time remaining before you leave for Cancun?
All-inclusive obnoxiousness.
We just pray you get sick.
Montezuma's revenge, yeah.
So the next time you're at a meeting and a guy says, I won't miss these meetings when I'm on vacation, give him a knowing nod, acknowledging that you can't wait for him to be gone either, because he's Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Vacation Countdown Guy.
What does that loser do around here anyway?
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday.
Hello.
Hello, Susie.
I just wanted to tell you right now, Sam, and everyone out there, that I wanted to thank someone for something they did to me yesterday.
Really? Are they listening? Will they know you're thanking them?
Probably not, but I'm a little bit angry at this person, so I'm not really, I'm being sarcastic. Some asshole, some inconsiderate prick, towed my fucking car yesterday.
What?
Grrr! So I might be smiling right now, but that's because when I get angry, I try not to like get too upset about these things.
Wow.
But, oh my God, I'm so fucking angry.
What, like last night?
No, like yesterday afternoon, right after I left the studio, I told you I was going to meet my former employer and my new potential employer for sushi.
Right.
So, you know, I had 2 hours in between leaving the show and going to meet them, and so... You know how tired I was yesterday, so I was meeting them in Brentwood, and I said to my friend Benji, you know, can I take a nap at your house for 2 hours? And he said, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I park one spot over in the wrong spot, one spot. And this asshole was watching me park in his spot, in his car. And then he watched me get out of my car. And then he watched me, like, walk up into the house. Mm-hmm. And then he did nothing. And then he watched me come down again later. Mm-hmm. He was still sitting in his car for 2 hours watching me.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then he actually followed me kind of down the street in his car while I was going to meet the people for sushi.
Right.
And I was kind of thinking it was weird that he was, like, still in his car, but I didn't really think much of it. And then I come back, and my car was gone, and my friend Benji told me that they towed it.
Really? And you think it's that guy responsible for it?
Well, Benji told me that that was his spot.
Oh.
You know, so he could have, like, he could have come up and told me, you know, hey, you're in the wrong spot. You know, you're supposed to be one over to the right. Yeah. And could have been a nice, considerate human being. Yeah. But instead, he was an inconsiderate prick. Well, a douchebag. A motherfucker.
Yeah, it's not about inconsiderate. He obviously did this on purpose.
He totally did it on purpose.
What a motherfucker, man.
I know. So it cost me like $10. I was either going to have to walk like 2.5 miles in the heat, which I wasn't about to do yesterday, to go get my car, and then $140 to get it out of the impound.
Wow.
So he's got something coming to him, I'm telling you.
What are you going to do?
Well, Benji suggested that that we call a towing company, a different towing company, and have his car towed late night.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Can you just, like, call and have someone's car towed?
I don't know. It's probably illegal. But I don't know. You may have to identify yourself to the towing company.
Hmm.
And besides, I don't know that the towing company can do it by itself. You need to have, I think you need to contact the police. You think you do?
I don't know. But anyway, if we can't tow his car, maybe it will accidentally get its tires slashed.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, don't fucking say that.
I know.
Now, if somebody does it to his car and it's not you, they'll suspect you.
Hey, you know, I don't live in the area. I'm never there, but...
People are fucking assholes, man.
I know. Like, that's just so mean. He could have told me to move over.
Yeah. But you should know better. Next time, I'm sure you're not going to park in someone's spot.
Well, I was supposed to. I was just supposed to park one spot over. The spots aren't labeled,
right?
So I thought it was the same spot I always parked in.
Yeah, but look, if it's an apartment building, it probably belongs to someone.
I know, but I was supposed to park just one spot over. I didn't. I mixed the spots up. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
Okay. I was parking in my friend's parking spot and going to take a nap in his apartment.
Okay.
So, I mean, I just kind of mixed up the spots and was just one spot in the wrong way.
The parking really sucks in Brentwood, huh? Is that where it was?
Yes, over at Brentwood.
The parking is, I mean, it's just horrendous.
Oh, God, I was so pissed off.
I'm sure.
Way to, like, ruin your day.
So, did it ruin your day yesterday?
Well, no, not really. It takes a lot more than that to ruin my day. But, I don't know. We'll see if the trend continues after traffic court today.
Yeah. You know, after the stories you told me yesterday about getting pissed at Franz and stuff like that, I was trying to picture you, like, mad, you know? And what I was seeing was not very nice.
Really? Yeah, because I don't know, you only see Happy Susie in the radio station so far. I could be not so nice if I want to be.
Yeah.
My fury and wrath is not so good.
Yeah, it's good you can still laugh about it.
I know.
Yeah. I'm hot for Palin, but I'm not as hot for John McCain. No, no. I'm hot for Palin. I think she's one cute wee puppet. Attracting that male crowd. She gets my vote for her beauty. That politician does something to me. But just why is a mystery. Okay, I think we get the idea for the song. We can kill it now. Wow. So,
I didn't think you did have a crush on Palin.
No, I don't. Actually, you know, I'm trying to see if she's really, like, hot and stuff. And I guess she is. You know, if you view her in a certain way, then she looks like a hot chick with glasses on, you know. But, I don't know about that. But, I mean, it's a total love fest with them at the convention. I haven't watched it at all.
I haven't
but
either.
I can just, but, you know, you hear bits and pieces in the news and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that... they're having a virtual political orgy there.
You know? Might not be so bad to get into politics, hey?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have a couple of guests today. And hopefully
right.
Yeah, yesterday I just got excuses.
I don't believe you anymore. You're
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
I spoke to someone yesterday,
And I mean, this is not really connected with those people that didn't show up, but I heard that, you know what, this is something else. I just wanted to say something about auditions.
Okay.
It seems like that's the most widely used excuse in this town, you know?
Is that they had an audition?
Yeah. If someone flakes out on you, it's like, yeah, I had a last minute audition. And it's like, you know, you would believe it if it happens once, twice, but when a lot of people start telling you this shit, you know?
Same, yeah.
Yeah, and why would you flake out? I mean, at least let us know, you know?
Exactly. So, I mean, even if you do get a last-minute audition, I mean, I grew up in the business, you know, doing the commercials and everything when I was a kid, and, you know, I would get last-minute auditions all the time. I would have a
really?
Pager. I was the only one in school, like, growing up that was allowed to have a pager.
Yeah.
It's like, excuse me, teacher, I've got to go to the nurse. Like, what now, Susie? And it's like, oh, I've got a last-minute audition.
Oh, wow.
But you know what I mean? They still give you enough time, usually like a few hours.
Yeah.
And especially if it's in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
If someone gave you that excuse for not being here at 9 a.m. or 9:30 in the morning because they had a last-minute thing,
yeah.
the odds of that are pretty slim because they should have at least known the night before.
Yeah.
They're never that last-minute.
Yeah, yeah, you know. But what are you going to do, you know? You
just got to
give the people the benefit of a doubt, you know?
True, true.
What are you going to do? But, no, I spoke to someone yesterday, and she went to an audition, and the producer hit on her.
Ooh.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
Actually, it was actually a pretty scary thing that happened to me when I was, I think I was like 15. And I went down to New York City, and this was the first time my parents had let me go to do an actual filming of a commercial by myself.
Right.
Because legally you have to be 18 or, you know, have a guardian with you to do the filming of a commercial. Auditions, you know, I can go in whenever. But so I thought I was the hot shot, like going into this a commercial by myself. And the executive producer was this pretty cute man. You know, he's probably about 31 or 32 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up to me and he's like, you know, welcome so much. Like, we absolutely love you. You're really talented. You're going to be great for the spot. And really just made me feel, you know, really good about myself. And so then he hands me all of the paperwork to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm giving him my social security number, all of my phone number, my contact information, you know, everything he would need to track me down.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm doing this for payment purposes and, you know, so they can get in touch with my agents and blah, blah, blah. After the commercial had finished filming, it had been about 3 months, and I had happened to go over to my mom's house, and no one was home, and I happened to be baking cookies, and I was wearing these little short shorts and, you know, an apron, and the phone rings, and I pick it up, and the guy says, "What are you wearing right now?"
Wow.
And I was like, a snowsuit? Like, who's this? Like, what do you want? It turns out it was that executive producer, and he completely was so inappropriate with me, Sam. He absolutely made me, like, freeze in my tracks. I mean, I didn't know what to say or what to do.
Yeah.
And he said, "I just wanted to tell you the spot is absolutely beautiful, like, just like you," and da-da-da. And so I just wanted to know, like, if you would think of getting down on your knees for me, and just completely going off.
Are you serious?
So then...
And you were 15 years old.
I was 15 years old when this was happening.
Wow.
And I was so embarrassed. Like, I couldn't tell my parents, like, "Mom, Dad, you know, this guy asked me if I was going to get down on my knees."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because then they wouldn't let me go and film a commercial by myself in the future.
Yeah.
So I forget how I got off the phone with him at that point. But the phone calls continued. Since he had all of my contact info, when I would now go to my father's house, he would call me at my father's house. And my father worked a lot and was never home. And, you know, I didn't want to... like, really piss him off because I wanted him to hire me for future work. It really, really put me in a bad situation.
Wow.
And he knew that, and he completely took advantage of it.
I know. The stuff that women have to deal with, you know?
Oh,
I mean, it's like, so humiliating when that happens to you. You know, you go there seriously thinking you're going to get a part or something, and then they just hit on you.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's got to be pretty traumatic, you know? And I...
So what happened to this girl?
I don't know. Nothing. Really, I mean,
she just said he hit on her?
Yeah, I didn't get into the details and stuff, but yeah, so I don't know exactly what happened there, but it's, I mean, is there a law against this?
Absolutely.
Really?
It's called sexual harassment in the workplace.
Yeah, but she doesn't work for him.
Well, she was auditioning or trying out to work for him, and if she's Screen Actors Guild or something like that, you know, I'm sure they've got to do something to protect her.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow. But it's her word against his, although they usually believe the women, right?
Yes and no. Well, since you brought this up and we got into it, I had a major issue with sexual harassment in the military by one of my superiors.
Really?
Yes. And,
wow.
And this was very difficult. I told you I had a very difficult time getting my top secret security clearance
right.
when I was in intelligence. So I was in this unit in upstate New York, and we were having drill for 2 weeks in the summertime, and there was a first sergeant who's way above me. At the time, you know, I was like an E1 or an E2, and I had been commuting up to the place every day and leaving my house at like 4:30 in the morning. And so one day he was like, "Private Raleigh, why don't you come over here?" And he's like, "You know, why don't you stay in this hotel tonight? You know, that way you don't have to be getting up so early, and that way you won't be so tired and this and that." He's like, "You know, I'll even pay for your room and this and that."
Really?
And so I was kind of like, "Thanks." I was like, "But you know what? You know, I stay with my boyfriend back home. It's okay, you know, but thank you for the offer." So then, because I was still a soldier in training, I was supposed to always have a buddy with me, a female buddy, whenever someone who is superior to me is talking to me.
Right.
So now this first sergeant, you know, who's in charge of the entire company, started calling me out of like meetings and things that we were in and briefings. And he was like, "Private Raleigh, you know, can you please be excused and come with me for a minute?" And then he started doing the same thing to me.
Really?
And then he would tell me that I wasn't going to get promoted unless I would come back to his hotel room that night.
Oh, wow.
And the
Now, that's sexual harassment.
That's sexual harassment. Yeah. But the most fucked up thing was, I totally forget what this is called, but, you know, there's someone that comes out and stands in front of the formation whenever the company is in a group.
Right.
And they hold the flag. You know, okay. flag bearer, flag holder. I don't fucking remember. but so he actually picked me as the youngest member of the company. Well, the youngest and... you know, the only female to have ever done this in the company, to come up and stand with him and hold the flag while the company is standing at attention and everything else. Mm-hmm. So now I'm about 30 feet away from the rest of the company, singled out with him, and he's mumbling under his breath all the things that he wants to do to me. And I am paralyzed. I'm not allowed to move because I'm holding this flag, and I can't fucking do a goddamn thing.
Wow.
And no one else is allowed to be up with me as my buddy.
Yeah.
So, you know, actually going through that whole process of, you know, telling someone about this, you know, I started telling this other female soldier, mm-hmm. and she was like, "You know, Susie, that's a really big accusation to make against the first sergeant."
Yeah.
And I was like, "But what am I supposed to do? I can't just let it happen."
Yeah.
So they ended up transferring him to a different company, and, you know, everything just kind of went away quietly.
Oh, so he never reported him.
I did report
him. Oh, you did? And
I did report him. They moved him, but he still maintained...
Don't they discharge somebody like that?
He's so like so up and high ranking, and you know I'm so low ranking that they.
So what are you guys even dealing with each other for? I didn't even think if he's so much higher than you.
He should not have been dealing with me. That was the whole point of it.
You guys should not be communicating at all.
We should not be. We should be going through the chain of command.
Exactly.
Which is why, you know, he picked me out and gave me that special position holding the flag. That way he can kind of have his alone time with me.
Yeah.
But it was really fucked up and really awful because then. You know, everyone else was like, "Oh, like, do we believe her? Do we not believe her?"
Yeah.
But so I ended up having some female witnesses to him singling me out of these briefings.
Really?
And doing that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even in the military, I mean, it's in everything that women do that this happens.
That's it, you know, and it's such an ugly thing to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
because you are taking advantage of your powerful position. And the reason you have power is because you were given that power by people that trust you. And then you go and you abuse it that way.
Exactly. You know? I mean, I was so new to the military. I was still pretty scared, you know, about everything that was going on, like with my clearance. And I didn't really know what was happening. And so this was someone, you know, that kind of had taken me under his wing. Someone very high ranking,
right.
And I was kind of like, "Oh, you know what I mean? Like, he thinks I've got a lot of potential as a soldier. Like, this is great." And then all of a sudden, it's just that he wants to get into my pants.
Yeah.
It just kills your, I don't know, my childish, like, I don't know, sense of every, yeah. I don't know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, your idealistic thoughts
yes,
of what the army
yes,
should
yes.
be like.
And it just it sucked.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. But good for you for reporting that. I'll bet you there's so many that don't.
Well, you know, it had been after a long time of not reporting it, and I don't know, what good did reporting it do anyway? You know, he didn't get reprimanded, he got moved, but that was so, you know?
But you didn't know that. I mean, you know, and plus, you gotta, I think for yourself, you've gotta report it, you know, just so you feel you've done something, that you're not a victim, you know, you're gonna take steps and get him in trouble.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's fucking bullshit, but that's the thing, it's almost like having an abused wife or something, you know, where she's just afraid to say something or to leave, you know? It's just like not rock the boat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Keep everything status quo.
Yeah, that'll teach you to be in a world of men, like in the military. I mean, I would think that they would rarely let the females and the males mingle with each other, you know?
Basic training these days in the Army is co-ed.
Yeah.
You know, my company, we sleep in different barracks, but they're right next to each other, and all the training is completely co-ed.
Yeah.
I mean, we're right next to each other.
Yeah.
The whole time.
I don't see them taking steps, really, to prevent these things.
Well, you know? Actually...
But then again, maybe there's not enough female soldiers to separate you?
The numbers are actually growing quite a bit. But one of the measures they are taking to prevent it, they actually put something in, I don't want to call it the Kool-Aid because it's not Kool-Aid, but it's like your Gatorade or something that they serve you. And everyone has to drink at least one cup of this per day mm-hmm. when you're a soldier in training, going through basic and, you know, advanced individual training. And it suppresses your sexual appetite.
Really?
It totally, I mean, when you're in basic training, I don't, like, they try and make it seem like, you know, you don't want to masturbate or you're not getting, like, a hard-on because you're so exhausted at the end of the day and you've been training so hard. And that's why, like, the sexual... you know, tension is not there so much.
Right.
But it's because they're putting this shit in our fucking Gatorade to suppress our sexual appetite. Isn't that ridiculous?
Oh, wow.
And I mean, they would keep track of everyone.
Did they let you know about it?
Well, no. I don't... I mean, they obviously wouldn't tell us, like, we're giving you, like, these, you know...
Well, then, again, it's illegal. I mean, you can't lay somebody's
drink. It's the United States military. You think you're going to tell them that what they're doing is illegal?
You're right. You're right. There's always so much.
They're probably listening now, and they're probably going to come and get me.
Yeah, with helicopters and shit, you know.
Oi.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, here they come right now.
That's actually scary that you're playing that right now, because for about an hour and a half last night, there were helicopters flying overhead in Venice, like circling low.
Really?
My neighbor actually came over and was like, Susie, I'm scared. Like, do you know what all these helicopters are doing? Yeah. I was like, they're probably after Franz.
Yeah, usually it's drug busts and stuff, I think. Or domestic violence. Who knows? Who knows?
It was really fucking freaky, though. Yeah. It's like, who's watching us? Like,
I know.
What's
there's always like helicopters where I am. I don't know why in that area. I mean, it's a nice area, but there's always like helicopters flying by.
Apparently, like there used to be back in the day in Venice, like all the time. And that was when drugs were really, really, really bad there.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're that bad anymore. You know, it's kind of turning into like yuppie town.
Yeah. Well, plus drugs are mainstream. You know?
I know.
Nobody really cares.
Everyone's doing it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So,
have you ever been sexually harassed in the workplace?
No, I never been sexually harassed anywhere. I wish I had.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you see, that's why men are like dogs, you know? It's like, yeah, harass me, please, you know?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
In fact, you know those Onion News we have? One time I played one where a guy was suing because he was not getting harassed at the workplace.
Oh, no.
You know, it's not real, obviously, but it's funny. I mean, that's...
Oh, that is too funny.
Yeah, I know. So, no, I never had that. You see, it's a female problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you remember that movie with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore, Disclosure, where she was harassing him. She was his superior. And it was like in Seattle. It took place in Seattle. And he was working for her at a corporation. And she tried to get him to...
was he married, too?
Yeah, he was married in the movie. And, yeah, so that's why he didn't want to do it, you know. And, so the whole movie is about how nobody would believe him.
It's true. Absolutely true.
Because when he scorned her or...
turned her down.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. What the fuck? Yeah,
wait, she probably made advances on him.
She did, and he turned her down.
And that
right.
infuriated her.
Yeah, so what she did is she made up a whole story of that him harassing her.
Ah.
You know? So that's
I vaguely remember that movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It was written by Michael Crichton that did all the...
Yeah, the Jurassic... Did you Jurassic Park?
Yep. Yeah, all the movies. All the great movies, anyway.
Speaking of great movies, I actually... Franzi and I watched... not Jurassic Thunder. Tropic Thunder last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was actually really good. I really liked
it. Is it funny?
It was funny. I mean, for some reason, I don't really think I have that much of a sense of humor when it comes to watching like these mainstream movies that everyone thinks is hysterical. But this one I actually really liked. Robert Downey Jr. playing the black man.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was hysterical.
Was it really?
Because there was a real... He was playing an Australian man who was playing a black man who underwent like a skin pigmentation thing. And the way they like made his lip stick out and everything. But then there was a real black man in the show who was like, what the fuck? Like, we don't all eat fried chicken, you know? Like, fuck you, buddy. We don't all like our collard greens. Why the fuck are you talking like that? And he was just going off on him. I don't know.
Just like all the stereotypes about black people.
All the stereotypes about black people and just about actors in general. And
what about this thing that this controversy about them talking about retards and stuff. Did you notice anything there?
You know what? That actually, I didn't really like that part very much. I don't know, you know, because I took care of a mentally retarded man for a long time, and so his right. name was actually Jack, and in the movie, Ben Stiller, you know, played a character in a movie called Simple Jack.
I see.
And yeah, that part wasn't
And the character's retarded and stuff?
Yeah, the character's retarded. Wow.
So it wasn't funny?
Not for me.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people don't find... Well, that's why it's a controversy.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are complaining about it.
But I mean, at the same time, it's like, you know, then they can have the controversy about the black man.
Right.
And then they can have the controversy, you know, about everything else in there.
It's satire, you know? I mean, it's comedy, you know? What the fuck?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But actually, Tom Cruise was really, really great in his role.
Really?
Yes.
Tom Cruise is in it?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know. No, I don't think many people did know. His role isn't that big in it,
yeah.
But he's kind of like the man behind the scenes that like owns the production of the movie and everything.
I see
that. But I don't know, they did a great job with his costume. They made him bald.
Yeah.
And they made him just really creepy looking.
Yeah.
So he was just kind of, I don't know, one of those big producer assholes.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was good.
Yeah. You know, talking about Tom Cruise, and that brings up Scientology always.
Aye.
And you know what? I looked over the news bits that I forgot to bring in this morning. But apparently John Travolta and Kelly Preston married on this day, like sometime in the early 90s, like 91. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, look at all these Scientologists that seem to have lasting marriages. You know, I mean, it's very unusual for someone in Hollywood to be married for that long. And yet, John Travolta and Kelly Preston have been married forever. And,
Tom Cruise. He's been, you know, he's been married a bunch of times.
Well, how many? Just Nicole Kidman, no?
Was it just Nicole Kidman?
I think so. And how long were they married?
They were married for a long time.
Yeah. So that was a while. And I'm sure he's going to stay with Katie Holmes for quite a bit.
I don't know. I think he would like to stay with Katie Holmes for a bit. I think she'll wise up sooner or later.
Yeah.
And ditch his ass.
You think so?
Yes.
Nobody leaves Tom Cruise. Come on.
I don't know.
Unless you're Nicole Kidman, you know.
Well, Katie Holmes is, I don't know.
She's only become famous now because she's married to him.
She's holding her chin up a little bit higher every single day. And now she's moved to New York and she's doing a Broadway show in New York and Tom's still living here. So, I mean, who knows what kind of stress on their on their marriage the distance will put.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. I kind of see her leaving him soon.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
Look into my glass fortune teller ball.
Yeah. Have you seen The Dark Knight yet?
Yes, yes, yes.
That was pretty good, huh?
Yes.
It was an excellent, I didn't think, but
yeah,
it was good.
I definitely wasn't the biggest fan of it. Batman Returns is my all-time favorite.
Oh, really?
So good.
I don't even remember the differences between all of them, but that was the first one with Christian Bale?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, God, he is so sexy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love him.
Yeah?
I wish he were not married. I mean, he is just God's gift
to
everyone.
So what if he were not married? Do you think he'd be with you?
Hey, who knows?
Well, I'm not saying that he wouldn't. It's just that how do you get through to him?
Well,
you
know? If I did happen to get through to him, maybe I can get my clutches into him.
Yeah. It's just so funny that women always get disappointed when a Johnny Depp gets married or something. Like, yeah, like you would have gotten him if he hadn't, right?
It's not that we would have gotten him if we hadn't, but I mean, every little girl like always has hope, you know, and then all of a sudden someone gets married and like their hope is just shattered.
So
and you're
it's
like,
the fantasy.
It's the fantasy of the whole thing.
Wow.
I don't know.
Interesting. All right, we're going to take a little break. Hopefully our guest will call right after these songs.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time, just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? No love can blind you, just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end there's no struggled on. Went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. Oh, in the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame.
Back, I think our guest is calling, so let's see. Good morning, you're on the air. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Christy with Libidicoria Book, and I tried to call the other number you gave me, and it didn't work.
You didn't?
To be a guest this morning.
Yes. Well, you just called the right number. I don't know what number I gave you. Did I give you my cell phone number, I wonder?
Uh-oh.
Maybe.
Well, welcome. You're on the air anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad you figured it out. You know, I'm a scatterbrain.
That's all right.
Yeah. Christy, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Cincinnati.
Oh, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Long way away.
Yeah. We're trying to be the next WKRP in Cincinnati. But do you remember
good
that
luck
show?
With that.
Yeah. Do you remember
I
that
do,
show?
I'm that old.
You really? Oh, I thought you were. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So you're from my generation, probably. So what's it like in Cincinnati? Are you guys feeling summer now, or is it cold? And what's going on?
You know,
up there?
One day it's 90, the next day it's 80, and today it's really rainy.
Oh, really? Well, you guys get rain in the summer. That's awesome.
I know. We kind of miss that over here in California.
I know. We don't get any rain here at all. We have one season, and that's it.
It actually rained once this summer when I was up in Malibu, and I freaked out. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's raining. Everyone outside. And everyone was like, everyone outside? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. So, listen, Christy. So, you sent me an email, and why don't you go ahead and tell us why you're calling, what it is you have an interesting passion, and I want to, and we want to hear about it.
All right. Well, essentially, I wrote a book. It's a poetry book that rides the line between porn and literature.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, that's an undertaking.
Actually, touting it as mature literature for the sexual intellectual.
I love you.
Susie's a fan already.
It's full of explicatives and graphic language.
Oh, really?
But there is a message behind it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm having a really hard time marketing it because mainstream bookstores won't carry it.
Yeah.
Because of the language, but it's definitely worth reading, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it sounds pretty good. So when did you start putting this together?
I started about 3 years ago, and I finished within the year. I put it all together and then decided at the end I didn't like some of the pieces, so that took a little longer.
Right.
But it's been out of production since March, in production since March, so it's been out there for a little bit, but
yeah,
still relatively new.
Yeah. So how did you get into this? I mean, did you write normal poems before?
Normal as opposed to.
Yeah.
I've been writing since I was in fourth grade, actually. So I started with Tame and then found my voice.
Excellent.
So I started with pretty tame poems, poems about Christmas and, you know, your family.
Violets are red, cats are...
And then I sort of found my voice as I started dating and getting jaded. So the book came together at the end. I think it's really good.
Wow, wow. So how did you how did this come about? I mean, did you just start writing these and then you decided to put it in a book?
Well, like I said, I've been writing since I was in fourth grade, so I have this massive accumulation of writing material.
Right, but I'm sure you weren't writing
essays. And,
yeah.
And I just decided it was time to put something together and put myself out there because this is what I really love to do, and I was going to take my shot, and it was the time in my life that I felt like I could do it. So,
would you be able to read us a little bit of an excerpt or something?
Well, I'm sure she will.
Sure.
Yeah, you see, you can't do it on normal radio, but here you will.
You can say whatever the fuck you want here.
Yeah. Now, my question though is, at what age did you start writing the erotic poems?
I would say I started tampering with it in high school. I grew up in a household where we really didn't talk about sex a lot, and so it became this big taboo subject, and that made me more
That's
curious.
Usually how it happens.
Yep.
totally
so
repressed.
I was sort of a little ball of repression. And I exploded shortly, like, in my late teens, early 20s. There was just an explosion everywhere, and it sort of spilled into every part of my life, especially my writing. So.
And became a way for you to express yourself.
Right. Exactly.
Have you considered actually having sex to express yourself?
Well, of course.
No, I'm
Hello.
Kidding.
You can't write this stuff and not have experienced it.
You could have seen it on TV. I don't know.
Wow. Okay, so, yeah, let's go ahead, Susie, and get Christy to read us one of the poems. Read us one of your favorite ones.
Okay.
All right. And you probably practice how to read the poems too, right?
Well, I do a podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Every week.
Okay.
Yeah, the podcast comes out on Sunday, and the format is sort of I write an essay that I wrote, and then I read an essay that I wrote, and then I follow that with a poem that relates to the essay. Mm-hmm. That podcast is called Shades of K, Chronicles of Libidochoria.
Hmm.
And I now have...
Shadows of what? Shades of what?
Shades of K, just the letter K.
Right.
And it's Chronicles of Libidochoria, like the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being downloaded and streamed in 57 countries now, so that's pretty exciting.
Whoa.
Wow, that's
congratulations!
Nice.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So apparently, sex is universal, right?
Yes, it is. They said it was music. What do they know?
All right, so yeah, I think we're really curious to hear one of those poems now. So, go ahead.
Okay. All right. A sour, aching pit consumes my heart. Another tragic ending to a beautiful start, with a man unaware of my value or worth, a diamond treated roughly by assholes since birth. I've become apathetic, traced with some bitter, a deadly concoction for a weak-hearted hitter. I devour more men than I'd like to admit, fed a lot of lies and some harsh bullshit. I pick my teeth with their limp bones. I stand it as much as my conscience condones. My sanity saved by the promise I gave, that one day I'd quit when my match was made.
Bravo.
Wow, nice.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
thank
nice.
You.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, where's the sex in that?
Oh, well, that one's kind of more, that's on the more tame, but that's one of my favorites because it's kind of hopeful.
Yeah, it is, but we need some dirty stuff, you know?
All right. Give me some dirty. Let me find it here. I'm flipping through the pages. All right. I'm not asking for love. No long languid afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you. Rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Wow.
I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on.
You're dirty.
Yeah. I'm actually turned on to hear.
You're giving me goosebumps.
Yeah, a woman talking dirty on the air. Wow.
Sam, you have me every day.
Yeah. No, that, yeah.
That poem's actually in a song. I did a project with an industrial artist from Indianapolis named Harry Rooster, mm-hmm. and he put some background tracks to it, and he took that poem and an audio file of me masturbating and put them all to music, so it's pretty cool.
Wow.
You can find that in one of my podcasts.
What's that one called?
Yeah, well, where do we find this right now? I mean, I need to hear you masturbate.
What's your website? How do we find these podcasts?
You can go to www.libidacoria.com. It's Libidacoria.
Wow. What does that word mean? I mean, obviously it has libido in it, but what...
Yeah, it's a Latin word that actually means an insatiable sexual desire.
Okay. That's my middle name.
It's a great word.
Sam and Susie Libidacoria.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
it doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
No, it doesn't, but I'm sure Susie's picture would be right next to it in the dictionary. Yeah. Wow, that's good. Now that's porn. I mean,
yes.
That's porn. That's so. Now, have you ever done this like as a public reading in front of people?
It's really hard right now for me to get into bookstores to do any of this stuff. So if anyone out there knows anyone that will take me,
maybe Children's Hour at the library. I don't know.
You know, I have an idea. Why don't we have you call in every morning at the beginning of the show
and do a reading?
Yeah, and turn us on for the whole freaking show with your poems.
That could be awesome. That could be really fun.
Yeah, and then you could read them to everybody. You know, everybody be able to hear them. But yeah, I'm definitely going to listen to that podcast. So this is actually you actually masturbating, or is just like a simulation?
No, it's actual.
Really? So you're pretty vocal.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like a cat in heat.
Yeah. Wow, man. Let me ask you this. Are you married?
I am engaged, actually.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So, yes.
Getting there.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. And what does your fiancé think of all this? I'm sure he loves it, huh?
He's actually super supportive. I was kind of worried when we first got together about how he would take everything, but... He's very supportive of me and my career, so...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I love this because it's, like, so shocking because you don't expect that to be... associated with poetry,
yeah.
You know? And then she starts with it, you go, whoa, whoa.
And that's sort of the aim of it is that, you know, poetry's become so antiquated. When you think of poetry, you just think it's boring and you think of Whitman and sort of the sing-songy, rhymey stuff, and I really want to take it to a place where it's cool to be a poet again.
Yeah.
Because I think it can be edgy and contemporary, and
I think you've done it.
Out there, so.
Yeah.
You have arrived.
I know. It's like the hell the hell with traditional poems and love, and I send you love letters and kisses.
I want to fuck.
Yeah, let's fucking suck my tits. You know? Yeah, that's the way it has to be, man, because that's the way people talk, you know?
Brilliant.
Yeah, I really think it's a book that everyone can relate to. The words are very direct, so I don't think that anyone's going to get lost in the meaning. Or
yeah,
I think that people would
get lost in the meaning. I think you're pretty straightforward. Did you say this book was published?
Yes, it is. It's available. You can actually get it through my website again, through libidacoria.com, or you can get it through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Barnes & Noble. It's actually on MTV.com.
Wow, nice.
It's out there.
Yeah, it is out there. Definitely.
I think I found a new present for all my friends and family for Christmas.
Yeah. I'm going to go on Amazon and I'm going to go on Amazon and give you a good review and stuff because I like the book already.
Yes,
I haven't
yes.
even looked at it yet. Yeah. So, yeah. Or maybe this is a stupid question, but are you a very sexual woman?
Very.
Duh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like duh. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine a prude writing those poems?
Sam.
Well, sometimes I ask the obvious.
Well, I think I've got like a presence about me, but I don't think people would expect this from me. I think it's pretty surprising because I'm pretty, you know, I play the straight-laced role during the day, and then at night I'm sort of this crazy sex writer. And
you whip out the whips and chains.
It's an interesting dichotomy to live with.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
I actually like erotic literature and stuff. You know, I used to read like all the Nancy Friday books.
I thought you were going to say Nancy Drew.
No. You know, all the...
Because those are the ones that you shoplifted from the erotic bookstores, right?
How the hell does she know that?
Oh
You've been
God.
Listening. Wow, that was some time ago. Wow. Yeah, but no, actually, I read this at a later age, but no, those were a lot nastier books I read when I was a kid. But these are about women telling their true fantasies and stuff, and I always found this to be very, like, a big turn on.
Sometimes, you know? I even like reading about sex in books more than I like to see it, because I can kind of imagine things, you know, to the own intensity, or my own intensity.
Yeah.
And I'm a very visual person, and I like to just close my eyes and imagine the things that are going on.
Yeah.
So it can be way more erotic, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Now, do you experiment? Have you ever done it with a woman before?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I've pretty much done everything before just to try it.
Really?
Because you never know what you're going to like until you try it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's for the sake of good writing.
Twice to make sure you hate it.
Yeah. I mean, so you're engaged now, so you probably are not seeing other people, right?
Right.
Another duh.
Or if she, or she had, she wouldn't tell us on the radio.
No. One special man has captured my attention, and he's trying to keep up.
Yeah.
Well, awesome.
One very lucky man, let me tell you. I wish my wife would write me songs like that, or poems. No, but there's something very sensuous, or I don't know if it's sensuous, but it's just a turn on when a woman starts talking dirty, you know, because it's sort of like, yeah, it's, you're not expected to in society, you
it's
know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't think a lot of women aren't comfortable enough with themselves to do that.
Yeah.
So that makes it sort of more special.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You're obviously very comfortable with your sexuality. Give us another one. Let's hear another one.
All right.
A really nasty one.
Oh, God.
I never thought I'd get turned
so
on by
so early
a poem.
In the morning, Sam.
Well, that's what we do.
All right. My peaceful sleeps go interrupted by thought I cannot shake. You lace my blood like a thousand men with pheromones strong. I ache. I thrash and burn against the chain that binds me to your place. Remove the mask and ease this corset, lace by lace by lace. Within my loins I feel the stir, a torrid expression suppressed. I close my eyes to catch a glimpse of the fear I once repressed. Your essence washes over me, too potent to contain, and in this shroud that binds me down is where I will remain.
Wow. Wow. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
How long have you been waiting to say that?
Well, it seemed appropriate. I mean, she's right in two words and everything.
Oh, Sam. That was a good one.
Yeah. Well, this one was not as dirty. It obviously, this one was written by a woman, but that second one, man.
Yeah.
That floored me. But you know what? I'm definitely going to get that. How many poems do you have in the book?
It's about 90 pages, so
wow.
There's pretty many.
That's a lot of poems.
Some of them are multiple page, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
we like multiples here.
I'm usually not into poetry, but...
Who doesn't?
So you've had quite adventures in your life, huh?
Yes.
Okay, any significant ones you want to talk about?
Significant
probably
ones.
Not.
Pretty much all of my life I've been a serial first dater.
Oh, yeah?
And that's included a lot of one-night stands, admittedly.
Right.
It's really, I think as an intelligent woman who's pretty independent, it's hard for men to keep my attention.
Oh, I see.
So I was really lucky to find one that could.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, were those one-night stands good for the most part? Were they satisfying?
Not really.
No, huh? Yeah.
That's why you ditch them. Like, they suck and you move on.
Yeah.
I know. Try again.
You know, because I'll tell you why I think these often don't work is, first of all, you don't know what the other person likes. But it's also, you sort of like, you need to introduce yourselves first. You need to talk first to know who you're dealing with, you know? And to sort of like just kind of do it or get familiar with each other while you're having sex is probably not the best time to do it. You know?
Yeah. Definitely, I would agree.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. I've had some cool one-night stands, but it's not, like, the sex is not that great in those, you know? It's just like
the thrill of it all.
The thrill, the adventure, you know,
depending on the circumstances, definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Christy, it's definitely been a pleasure. We've got our next guests in the studio, and we don't want to keep them waiting. But this has been fascinating. And go ahead and give your book name again and your website, and we'll put a link to your website as well so people can go and check you out.
Okay. It's called Libidicoria in a Plain Brown Wrapper, and it's on my website at www.libidicoria.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that is spelled Libidacoria again.
Mm-hmm.
And then check out the podcast too, Shades of Tay, Chronicles of Libidicoria. You can get it through iTunes or through my website. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, would you ever make a porn film, or are you pretty much into words?
I'm pretty much into words.
Yeah, you wouldn't let other people see you do.
There's something about being able to create your own fantasy out of.
Yeah.
You know, suggestive thought.
Yeah, that's true. Now, what do people that know you, what do they think of you playing your orgasm online?
I think they kind of expect it. I'm sort of a quirky kind of girl anyway.
Are you really?
What do your parents think of it?
Advertising, but...
Do your parents know about it?
Yeah, actually, and my mom is crazy. Like, she's lending the book out to her friends and stuff and sort of bragging to grandma, and I'm like, this is just weird, but okay.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I love
it. It's a little creepy, but it's okay.
It is a little creepy.
All right, so we have Christy. What was your last name again?
Lavangie.
Okay, is that how the book is listed?
It's actually listed by K, but I think it says pen name Christy Lavangie, so.
Okay.
Sounds
Shades
good.
Of K. It's just
the K. Shades of K. Very nice.
Sounds
very
good.
Nice.
Well, this is definitely unique. It's definitely original. And I congratulate you on this. And, you know, a lot of success. I'm sure, you know, once people know about this, you'll have more and more people buying this.
Yeah, it's going to explode.
Put it on your coffee table and let your guests start going through it, you know.
Oh, I'm sure it already is.
It's a cool conversation piece, yeah.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Sure, it's
yeah,
been a pleasure.
You.
Yeah, and say hi to Cincinnati for us. And
till next time, call in with a new poem.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Right. I mean, don't hesitate. Just call out of nowhere and read us another poem.
I'll see your poetry
lady. Yeah, there you go. You see? It's awesome.
That would rock, yeah.
And thanks for figuring out the right number. I apologize.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I think I didn't make a mistake. I think what happened is we communicated, like, what, 2 weeks ago or something, right? Originally.
Right.
That's what it was. We had a different number. We changed our call-in number. So I apologize for that. So, yeah, it's not like I made a fool out of myself and gave her my personal phone number. It was just the older phone
yeah,
number.
Yeah, sure. You wanted to give her your personal number.
Yeah. but obviously, Christy is smart. Yeah.
Typical
yeah,
guy.
There you go.
Typical guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure, you have
there's
a radio station.
Voicemail.
Yeah.
If you considered L.A., you know, we could put you on a radio station. We have a lot of sun here. Think about it. And, you know, I mean, a husband is a husband. You know?
It definitely would be a better change than today.
Yeah.
Better
All right. Well, Christy, thank you so much. And we'll be talking to you again, hopefully real soon.
Will do.
Okay, thank
bye.
You.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Well, this was awesome, huh?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, I like women talking dirty and shit. You know, it's pretty cool.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought? Anyway, we're going to take a little break, get our guests situated here, and we'll be back right after this.
The collectible plate industry has called for the tragic death of Barbra Streisand. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. A sharp drop in sales of Princess Diana memorabilia has business leaders concerned. Jim Campion, president of the Franklin Mint, says it's time for rash action.
We need a heartbreaking, untimely death that we can commemorate with a series of exquisitely crafted, limited edition collector's plates.
Economists say Streisand's death could mean a $1 billion boost to the collector plate business. Industry leaders are urging Streisand to suffer a fatal accident in time for the Christmas season. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
you're
Whoops,
not.
Whoops, we totally forgot you guys.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, sorry about that to our listeners. I totally
forgot. You didn't put a song on?
No, I had a song, but it was a short one, and I didn't realize that.
Oh.
Sorry for the dead air. I'm like sitting here, I'm going, nothing is happening.
Aye.
Anyway, we have, whoa, what's that? Oh, okay, that's this mic again. Let me fix it. Hold on.
Go ahead, Susie, say something.
We've got our other guest in the studio right now.
Okay, we fixed the mic, I think, right? Yeah, no more noise.
Yes.
Okay, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How
good
you
morning.
Doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Great,
thank you.
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Phil Verone, and I have a crazy comedy show over in L.A. that we'll talk about a little bit.
Really?
That's cool, yeah. I used to play drums for a rock band called Skid Row.
Uh-huh.
And spent many years on the road. I was listening to your caller. These
songs.
Poems. The poems.
These little poems.
So-called poems, yeah.
Yeah, the first one was interesting.
Yeah.
The erotic ones. It reminded me most of touring, actually.
Yeah.
So that
really?
Was good. Yeah, absolutely. Most of the women on the road. One night stands every night on the road. So
there you go.
Yeah. Except I actually enjoyed the sex. I don't know what happened to you guys, but...
And the one night stands, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, okay. I enjoy them, yeah.
Well, I remember, anyway.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great experience. It's not necessarily the best sex, but if you got that, hey, man, you're very lucky. You know,
yeah.
Very fortunate.
No, I don't remember much of it. It was crazy, drunken rock and roll days.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Cool.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you brought a beautiful lady with you.
Yeah.
And what is your name?
It's Yvette.
Yvette?
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you
guys are related, obviously, right?
In some way? She's a good friend of mine. She works with me on the show. She has sex with the comics. For me.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
We're trying to get her laid because, you know, she likes horse-hung guys and the comics work her. So we're trying to get her some...
Horse-hung guys.
Who doesn't like horse-hung guys?
Right, exactly.
Well, so. Why is that?
It's the only way to go. You have to be honest. Size matters.
It does matter,
says,
right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be a horse size, right? I mean, as long as there's girth and a decent length.
No, I think horse size is good.
Really?
Yeah.
So you need them like real big.
You agree with me, correct?
Absolutely.
So you probably should, like, into fisting and shit too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, did you see the ass
double
on this girl? I mean, that alone.
No, I haven't seen the ass yet,
well,
but I will.
Yeah,
now that you pointed it out.
There's a lot to handle back there. You got to...
Right before we made her come on the air, she promised, or she made you promise to be nice.
Yeah.
And I am being nice. I'm trying to get her late. I mean, that's what are friends
trying.
Do here?
Yeah. Actually, the last time I had a girlfriend on the show, you know, she wanted to have her first one night stand. And after Sam and I had her on the show and we were talking about her ass and how it liked to be fucked, she had her first one night stand here in LA.
Yeah. How was it?
Actually, she didn't really like it. She kind of was just like, oh my gosh, I don't really like it. But she's kind of a good girl. She's a really bad slut.
I keep the friends with benefits thing. I think that works better than one night stands.
Yeah.
So, you know, because you meet the girl, you have a few, and I like to keep the variety, and it makes it easy. Everybody kind of knows about each other. It's like this incestuous thing. And, you keep a variety of girls, not that many, I mean, you know, but you keep the hen house full, and, you have some fun. At least you get to know them a little better, so the sex is good.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Instead of the actual one night stand.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But are they women that go for that? Like, knowing that you're going to be screwing a few women?
Absolutely. Well, if they don't, they don't. One thing, I'm not a guy in the sense that I lie to them. So I let them know up front that this is where I'm at. Because I think that's the best way to do it, too. Because you don't want to get caught in this crazy, you know, love triangle.
Yeah. This is not about love, baby.
Yeah, because I've been married a few times. A couple times. And I found that, and I enjoy a swinger lifestyle as well. So I like to keep it, just keep it honest. You know, there's plenty of girls out there. There's plenty of guys out there. So you don't have to lie about it. I think it's easier that way.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
And if you play your cards right, you can get them all together.
Right.
So that's really what you're getting.
There you go.
Here.
There you go, yes.
So.
Do you have a card?
Absolutely.
Swinger, Phil.
Bang.
So, Phil, where are you originally from? Are you from L.A.? Or?
No, I'm from Long Island, New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
I'm from New York.
Are you? What part?
Upstate, Wappingers Falls.
You know Joe? No, I'm just kidding.
Everybody's from New York in L.A. I don't know what it is. You know? And you, Yvette, where
I came
are you
from New York.
Oh, you're from New York, too?
Yeah.
Wow. And when did you come here?
Maybe like 5 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so you're new.
That's why she's having a problem finding some good dick.
We should tell her about LA. Did you know that we just pretty much fuck anybody we see on
everybody.
The street?
Yeah.
So,
It's just random. You can get whoever you want, whenever
exactly,
you want.
Again, with her, She's like a guy. I mean, if they don't fuck her good, they're out.
Yeah.
And she's got that. You gotta handle this. Yeah. I mean, look.
Yeah. You gotta handle this.
And I love the fucking confidence. Yeah. I mean, yeah, your boobs are practically out. Yeah. Right.
They're gigantic. Yeah.
They look
she's got nice nipples, too,
yeah.
I can see.
Yeah. And you see, for Susie,
Susie's looking at my nipples.
This is the most covered my nipples have ever been in the studio.
I absolutely love your boobs.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I like the boobs. I'm a boob connoisseur, but yeah, I mean, across the board.
Exactly. You know, I mean, this is a gift, you know, a free gift that God gave
just
men.
Just stand up and show them who the star is. Hold on a second.
What's that?
Here's the star of the show.
Okay.
Turn around. That's what I'm talking about. You got to handle that.
Smack that ass.
I see.
She likes it up the ass, boys.
Oh, yeah, well.
Please
help
call
her
us.
Out. I'm trying. There's only so much I can do.
Yeah.
You know, I have
such
a show
a
to run.
Friend.
I got stuff going on.
Well, what are you doing this weekend? I'm actually free, you know?
his wife's in Israel for
the
next 2 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey.
Well,
yeah.
Hell.
Yeah.
You know?
Shit.
Nobody
yeah.
will know, you
yeah.
know? Yeah, nobody's
as long
listening,
as your horse
so nobody
hung,
will know.
You know.
It's only between us, yeah.
Listen here, you're going to have a commercial break, right? There's plenty of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
We can
tell
me curtains hung in the studio.
Yeah, okay. You want me to show it to you?
Yeah.
But I'm sort of a grower, you know? I'm not a shower.
They all say that,
there
yeah.
we go.
No, you go with me to the bathroom. You'll see the growth, okay? Oh, they all say that, my ass. Let me tell you, if there's one thing I was gifted with, okay?
They all say that as well.
Okay, then fuck them. I'm an honest person, okay? But no, we'll let you find out for yourself. How's
okay,
that?
Okay, great.
Okay, cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Perfect. Sam, oh
that's
my
okay,
gosh, you're not
I need
boy.
Some time with her.
Yeah, there you go.
You take all the time you want.
Yeah.
We'll be perfectly fine right here.
This is going to work out great.
Oh my.
Yes. Well, we know what we're doing from 11 to 12, yeah.
Absolutely.
Or 11 to 11:15,
yeah.
Something like that. So long as I'm in traffic court by 1:30, I'm fine.
Exactly.
So, Phil, let's talk a little bit about yourself. You do comedy?
Yeah, I have a comedy show. It's called The Sex Stand-Up and Rock and Roll Show.
Wow.
And I started at the Improv in Hollywood about 2 years ago, and I just moved it to a new venue called the Cat Club, which is right on Sunset Strip across from the Hustler store.
Meow.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I know
so
what that
it's
is.
A, it's a cool rock venue, and I have this combination of music, sex, and comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I start my show with a tribute act, a musical group, like whoever from the old, you know, I like older music, and my old bands are from the 80s and 90s, so I started with that. I have a porn star that I bring up on stage, and we raffle off gift bags full of dildos and porn.
That's original.
And clothing.
Someone wants one.
Yeah, and I have
pick me.
And in the middle, but this is in the middle of really A-list comics, which is great because I do comedy as well. So my A-list friends, these are all guys that are on television and Comedy Central and all this stuff, and they love being part of the show because it's loaded with porn stars, rock stars, celebs, and you know, a chance to win a bag of dildos. I mean, that's a good night
that's
out for the kids.
That's
you know?
Worth it. Just
are
for
you
that.
Performing? Tonight?
Actually, tomorrow.
She needs a new dildo, yeah?
My dad's girlfriend's in town. Maybe I'll take her to the show.
Well, if you want to come tomorrow, seriously, it is a really fun show. It starts at 10 p.m., and we have a blast there, on top of all that other stuff, I always have crazy stuff. We have these, you know, at one point we yell out free drinks. Everyone gets free shots in the place. Like
really?
And we do this, and you have a chance to, like I said, to win these great gift bags. Along with the dildos and all that stuff, we have amazing clothing companies like Junker and a Full Armor and all this great stuff that we give away because they're really good sponsors. And it's only at $10 to get in.
Really?
So, you know, normally with comedy shows, like the Improv, it's $20 to get in. It's a two-drink minimum. Not with our place. It's $10 to get in. You have all the fun you want. There's 500 parking spaces behind the club. It's nice and simple. Cheap night out. A lot of
sounds
fun.
Sounds good.
That and sounds amazing.
That's what? The Cat Club?
It's called the Cat Club on Sunset. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's directly across from the Hustler Store.
From the Hustler Store.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not too far from where Tower Records used to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And all the information is on my MySpace page. This is MySpace/PhilVerone.
Okay.
And you can get all the information on the show, the lineup. This week I have adult star Angie Savage, who is absolutely beautiful. Comics, I have Brett Ernst, who is on the Vince Vaughn's Wild West Comedy Show.
Nice.
He was also on the show Weeds on Showtime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have Steven Glickman, who is on Comedy Central. He was Shrek on Broadway. So, I mean, like,
oh,
I have
really?
These great guys. You know, it's a lot of fun. And, of course, you know. Bags of dildos.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. I'm count me in.
Yeah, so it's this Saturday. Yvette, and we do it every week.
Yvette, are you going?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. She has to screw the comics.
Yeah. There's like 12 of them.
She's just going to get hit on. She's going there to find some cock. That's
right.
What she's doing.
You could do a gangbang, no? Have you done one before?
No. But that's why I'm going.
Well, you know, at one point, I was trying to convince her to get a friend so they both can blow me, because I like to get blown by two girls.
Do you?
But, yeah.
So we're trying. Wow. I'm on the hunt for that right now, actually.
Really?
Do you like balls in one mouth and then, you know?
I like them actually going up and down like a harmonica.
Yeah.
And then the girls kiss at the end and then come back down around.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds,
yeah, it's fun stuff.
So if there's any callers out
that
there.
That does sound fun.
Yeah.
Any callers out there?
It's been a while.
Okay. Any callers out there want to get laid? I mean, she's got like awesome fucking tits, I'm telling you.
She just sent it to the MySpace page. She's also an artist and a photographer, yes. So she has an erotic art show going on Saturday
tomorrow.
As well.
Really?
Oh, cool. Yeah, I do.
Before my show. So that she does that, and she is an amazing artist and amazing photographer.
Is that going to be the same venue?
No. It's a different venue.
Hive okay, Gallery. So tell us where it's going to be.
The Hyman Gallery?
Hive.
God, that would be perfect. Calm down.
Sorry. You're all dildos and Hyman.
Dildo, what?
That's just crazy out here.
Wait, so what's the gallery called
again? It's called The Hive, H-I-V-E,
okay.
Hive Gallery. And it's tomorrow from 8 to midnight.
Really? Mm-hmm. And what do you photograph usually?
People, usually. Models, myself. I kind of have a self-portrait series going.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you photograph yourself?
Well, a lot of people ask that. I just put the timer on.
I see. Okay, gotcha.
Very hot stuff, too. Right. Like, you know, really erotic and, you know, lingerie.
But wouldn't it make more sense to have a photographer take pictures of you? Because then they can
like
get
it.
The angles.
I don't let anyone shoot me. I've had photographers come up and ask me really reputable ones, and I always decline.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. And they always kind of say, people who have published books out there want to photograph me, and I just say no, because I don't want anyone to take my photo. But then I do it, and I put it out there, and then they say, how come you do it, but you won't let me do it?
Yeah.
So I kind of tease a little bit with my photography, but it works.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Is there any examples online that
people I have a site. It's YvetteMarie.com.
Yvette Marie?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Yvette, spell it for people who are illiterate?
Sure. It's YvetteMarie.
Okay, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go on there after when we go on the break or something. But do you do any erotica photography too?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a little bit like that. I mean, people want to hire me to take photos of them together or separate, stuff like that will come up. I have someone flying in from New York next month who wants to do that.
But they want it to be erotic, not porno, right?
Right. Or, erotic. Yeah. But you know that you always get the limits pushed. A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'll have very timid models come in, bring a bunch of clothes, and by the end of the shoot, they're in their underwear. They're naked sitting on my bed.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have a way with people, I think.
Sure. Wow. I'm sure you've got it on with women and stuff, huh?
Maybe.
Well, shit. I mean, she seems like she's done just about anything. It's not so out there, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah.
She said before she tried a little bit of everything, didn't you?
What's that?
Didn't you say before you tried a little bit of everything?
No, I never said that. That was you.
Oh. I'm projecting. I'm sorry. Yes. The hopeful over here.
And now, Phil, you're full of tattoos, obviously.
Yeah.
Your arms are full. Do you have any other tattoos?
Yeah, I have pretty much. I have my chest and some on my legs. I got started back in like '92. And because
before it became fashionable.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing with me, it was the art end of it. And then, of course, I was in the band. So I was always on the road. My profession is, you know, was a rock star, which is pretty cool. So I was, no problem, you know.
Yeah, to be
so
crazy.
I kept on going. Things. Yeah. That's it. So.
Yeah. Are you happy with them?
I'm ecstatic with them.
Really?
I mean, there's things that you learn later where you would like to kind of plan things a little differently, but my artists were great, and I have, there's nothing on me that I hate. Like, I would go, why did they do that? I would have planned things a little differently, but I love it all. I mean, I'm good now. I've stopped. I haven't had a tattoo in a while.
Yeah.
I think I did an episode of Miami Ink a couple of years ago. That was like my last one that I got to, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty happy with them.
That's amazing.
Huh?
Yeah. Sam's not a tattoo person.
No, I'm not a tattoo person, but I guess I can appreciate when someone really takes pride in it.
A lot of people just have beautiful artwork, and it's just
people
like
are
it's
really
amazing.
Into it, you know?
Yeah, and I have to say that, you know, at one point, you know, before they were in, people kind of like were weird about it, and they kind of put it like we were drug addicts and we were this and we were that, but really Tommy Lee's done a lot for us, and the average mom laying at home loves Tommy Lee now because it's cock and all this other stuff. So guys that are tattooed, we're getting laid way more now because of Tommy Lee. So I like to thank Tommy right now. Thank you very much, Tommy.
You know, I can actually make a statement to agree with that. I used to work with someone who looked exactly like Tommy Lee at my bar. And I brought my like 82-year-old grandmother into the bar one day. And she was just like, oh, Susie. And he's got like piercings and, you know, everything. And my grandmother was like, oh, Susie. Like, oh, he's such a nice young man. And I'm like, Grammy, he's got like full sleeves like everywhere. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you hate tattoos. Oh, but he was just so charming and cute. I'm like, Grammy, just somebody date him.
Yeah, they all
at
want the bad
80
boy.
Years old, once they see that huge cock, it doesn't matter what. That's like huge cock tattoos. He's a nice boy. He's a nice boy. So
she is married to a gynecologist, so I mean, what can I say?
Well, that's wacky.
I know.
I can only imagine those stories.
That's how I ended up here, you know what I mean?
Excellent.
Dinner parties are never dull.
Oh, boy.
And how long, Phil, have you been in L.A.?
I've been in L.A. almost 3 years now. I lived in Florida after New York, and, mm-hmm. and my first band, Saigon Kick, was based out of Florida. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of hung out there. As long as there was an airport, you know, when you're in a band that tours, you don't really need to be together anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So we would just fly to wherever the tour started. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Jersey when I joined Skid Row, and I lived there for a bit too. But so almost 3 years now. I'm having a good time. I like it out here in L.A. because I actually stopped playing music to start comedy and do television stuff and acting.
That's so cool. Have you done comedy before? No, it was
just kind of like a childhood dream.
Really?
You know, it was be a rock star, be a comic, and be an actor. Those are my three.
So, you've got them all done.
Well, almost. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing with comedy. I'm only 2 years into it, so it's, you know, I'm an infant, and I just, you know, landed my first acting gigs that are good and stuff like that. And I have a documentary out called Waking Up Dead, which was an actual, I had a camera crew follow me around for 4 years on the road.
Wow.
So if you want to see some really intense,
I bet.
You know,
wow.
Yeah, it's called Waking Up Dead.
Like
it's
a rocker's life type.
It's
of
a
thing.
Rocker's life. It's the ups and downs. It is the fun part of it, the chicks, you know, then you show the dark side, the drugs, the rehabs and all that other stuff that goes along with it. So, But just happy to be here at this point.
Yeah. I'm sure. Alive and breathing, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Now, Yvette, when did you guys meet?
How long ago? Maybe.
Actually, she also casts shows.
Yeah.
She's a casting director.
Oh, are you?
So there was a show she was casting that
we
met through that, actually.
The Moment of Truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were looking for people who kind of had stories. I don't know if you've ever seen the show on Fox, The Moment of Truth.
No, I don't watch TV, but I will now. Yeah. Is it on now?
They kind of come on, and they win like $500,000, and we ask them all kinds of questions like, have you ever cheated on your wife?
Oh,
have you ever
wow.
done a threesome? Have you ever this? And the questions get more and more intense, and then you win money. We bring on a surprise guest.
Yeah.
And Phil submitted. And one of the guys at work saw his photo, and they're like, look at this guy. This is so your type. And he brought it to me. And he said, look at this guy. And I said, oh, no, he's trouble. And I just wrote trouble on it. But I called him, and I interviewed him over the phone.
Uh-huh.
But he was so honest with everything. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't know. He's so honest, but we'll bring him in anyway.
Yeah.
She just wanted to fuck me.
Yeah.
There you go.
I thought he's got to have a huge cock.
Well, did you?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to get it.
I mean, I banged the shit out of her, but the point is that...
It was a casting call.
Yeah, I mean,
let me ask you this. Have you ever had good sex without a huge cock?
No.
Yeah, wow. So you are screwed.
So it's a prerequisite. Yeah, what the hell am I doing here?
I think women lie. I think women say size doesn't matter.
No, it does matter, but I mean, you talk about
you
a horse,
small cock,
so what?
Like, I had a small cock, and it was good once.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but wait a minute. There's like different sizes. There's not like a horse and a very small one. There's a lot in between. How many inches do you need?
I would say minimum probably 7.5
Okay.
Maybe.
What about the girth? Is that important to you?
Oh, yeah, that matters.
Yeah.
Okay. She's a tight one, too.
So let me ask you this. If you had, like, a lot of girth, but it was 6 inches, would you take it?
No, I'd be bored. I'd have to do my nails or something.
Yeah, but you got girth, though.
Maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean...
No, because then, you
I am
know,
very curious about what's in Phil's pants right now.
I'm going to show you, actually.
Oh, my God.
I hope
you
at
should
one point.
See this thing. Yeah. I mean, but so I'm saying if
so,
it has girth,
but you're limiting yourself, aren't you?
No.
I mean, how will you know a guy has a big dick until you go to bed with him?
Well, that's the thing. You go to bed and then you never call him again.
I see.
You know what's funny? Her ex came over. How big's your ex? Because her ex came over and banged her the other day.
He's a good size.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask.
I've got a question. Have you ever had one that is too big?
Yeah, I had a guy who was pretty big a while ago, and he actually tried to go into the back door, but he was very careless.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And very, like, flipped me over and, like, bam! And wow. It was just like,
listen, I told you I was sorry about that. I had to bring that, like, up on the radio. Jesus.
I mean, he just disrupted that whole section. But yeah. It was because he was huge. And I remember I moved out of the building, and I took the condom wrapper, and I said, thank you. It was good to meet you, Mr. Extra Large, or something.
Wow. Well done.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, I've never met someone like that before, and I have to agree with you. I mean, I've always thought that size matters.
It does. When I talk to women, it does.
But, I mean, do you need, like, a really huge one to get off,
Susie? Let's just say the Franz is well endowed.
See? Okay.
All right. Cool.
See?
All right.
We don't lie
cool.
here.
Yeah. No, you don't lie. Yeah, you don't lie.
But I will say, I was telling Sam a story once upon a time that I was, I actually slept with my taxidermist. I go hunting in Africa. And this was something I really didn't expect. But when I was stuffed and mounted by my taxidermist, oh my God, you know, literally the puns are... You know, they were meant to be.
Exactly.
I mean, it was like an elephant trunk. And I mean, my sister's a doctor, and I called her afterwards, and I'm like, oh my God, am I going to be okay? Am I ever going to be able to walk again? Am I ever going to be able to have sex again?
Right.
Like, seriously, like, will everything go back to normal?
Did he go on your back door?
No, I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, yeah.
To my boyfriend's dismay, like, he's miserable about that.
Are you into ass eating at all?
Yes.
Because I'm an ass eater. I'd rather eat your ass than fuck it any day.
Yes.
I was eating ass before it was cool.
That's because
when he was three.
That's because you're eating women's asses. Try to get them to eat yours. It's not such a pleasant...
Well, you know, and I say there's only one thing better than eating ass, getting your ass eaten. Yeah. Right?
So I've dated a guy who loved it.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but I wouldn't eat my own ass, but I love eating ass. Yeah. And some girls are weird about that. You know, they kind of, they'll do that leapfrog once you get back there.
Yeah.
And I'll grab onto them and hold them. You know, if you can get them into a 69 and wrap around them, I don't know if that's really... Is that a rape, then, if I'm holding their ass and eating it?
No, it's a friendly hug.
It's a friendly licking. So.
You guys are awesome. You have to come back and be on the show all the time.
Yeah. Susie's been missing talking about sex for 20 minutes or so.
Yes.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It is. For her, it is, yeah. Absolutely. So you guys did get it on. Do you guys still get together?
Once in a while, there's
no such thing as platonic friends.
No, in all honesty, we're just friends, and we fucked like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But you know,
four times, something like that, and then she bought me dinner.
That's why I have friends.
That's what I had for breakfast.
Like, friends like this works for me, and she's very cool about it, and she knows that I have some other girls, and she has her other guys.
That's really cool.
She could say, like, hey, my ex came over and pounded me the other day. I'm like, oh, how was it?
Right.
I don't really care about
that. Yeah, because you don't have a relationship.
Give her a smack on the ass, you're like, good for you.
Yeah. But nevertheless, I mean, you're friends, but you fucked, you know? Friends normally do not fuck.
When you instead of having the one night stand, you always kind of have. I hate to use the word booty call, but that's really
kinda.
That's what it is. You doing anything? I'm horny. Can you come over and bang me? Sure, yeah. I got 5-6 minutes.
Yeah.
No problem. So it works out good that way.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
that's cool.
Keep her a little variety.
Yeah. Yvette, when was your first time?
I think I was 16, going on 17.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it with an older guy?
Yeah, he was 4 years older.
4 years older.
Yeah. Wow. And he used to joke around because I wouldn't give it up, and he would always make a sound of an alarm anytime he would touch my pants.
Really?
Chastity belt going on.
He would, because he said, "Oh, you're not going to let me go down there. You were not going to let me." And then one day I was like, "You know what? Fucking, I'm ready."
Yeah.
And we did it at a party on the floor.
That's hot.
And then we were done. He's like, "That wasn't your first time. Virgins don't move like that."
But wait a minute, in front of people you did this? In a party?
No, I wish that would have been much
hotter. So you went to another room.
That would have been much hotter.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But then he got mad because he didn't think it was my first time.
Yeah. Now, have you considered doing porn? I mean, obviously, you love sex.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so you do porn?
No.
You love sex?
Yeah.
But have you considered doing that?
No.
It's big bucks.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
Yeah, you got to do anal for the big bucks.
Not necessarily.
You keep telling me that.
Listen to me.
Plus, she does
help.
Anal.
I'm trying
so
to help
cares.
Her for her anal scene. Would you just let me?
Yeah.
I tried to get her in a key city the other day, actually.
Yeah.
I know.
But then you
just shove it in there.
Why didn't you just shove it in? I ate her ass. I didn't put lube on. I ate her ass.
You got to go.
I was trying to put the head in there. Just tried it ahead. That's all.
Just the tip. Just the tip.
Just the tip.
I just learned what that meant. Like last year, my sister was telling me, she's like, "Oh, you know," and the guy was saying, "Just the tip, just the tip." And I was like, "What's that mean? Why would he put just the tip in?" Like fucking. My sister's like, "Susie, why just the tip?" You know, because they're trying to like, you know, screw the girl, and you know, they're trying to like ease their way in. I'm like, "Well, that's stupid. Just stick it in there."
Yeah. Well, you know, for some reason, in a man's head, the logic is just the tip is going to work with a girl when it comes to their ass. I don't know. It doesn't work. If they don't want it, they don't want it.
No.
Yeah. That's why chloroform and a dirty sock works for that right there.
Just knock them out.
Yeah, that's all. They wake up. Fine. You don't know what happened. It's fine.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm kidding, of course.
Yeah.
I use GHB.
I love GHB.
Have you ever had that?
Seriously,
isn't
I love it.
Crazy?
I love it.
Oh my god! I actually had that.
What is it?
It's a date rape jug.
Yeah.
Okay.
I sometimes take it recreationally.
Watch TV.
I actually took that and like woke up 3 hours later.
Well, you don't want to take too much of it. It's actually a very dangerous drug. No, you can easily overdose on it.
Yeah. I mean, I allegedly took it.
Allegedly, yes.
I'm sorry.
And same with me. I didn't mean to take it.
No. Yeah, not at all. And I didn't mean to put that coke up my ass either. But that's a whole other story.
But you did do it.
Yes. Thank you. That was because Yvette. She helped me with that.
Yvette, what are some of the things you put into your ass?
Well, I got a whole box of trinkets at home. Things.
Yeah. She tests the stuff that I give away from the show.
Yeah.
So whatever's in the bag, the dildos, the jackrabbits, she's a tester.
You have an erotic show that I do, and I just test it all.
I do have to give you a little bit of warning. I was telling you guys before, my sister's a doctor, and when she was doing her emergency room internship, they had this ridiculously overweight woman come in and who was like really shy, and she wouldn't tell what was upsetting her. And finally, like, what the fuck did you come to the emergency room for, bitch? Like, tell us. And she said she stuck a dildo up her ass, like a large one, and it got vacuumed all the way up. If you stick something far enough up your ass, it will get sucked in.
Yeah. I believe that.
So can you imagine like the five like interns, like, you know, after the x-ray of this poor woman, and they're just like looking at the pictures, and they're all just like so immature, like 22 years old or 23.
Laughing.
They're like peeing their pants. So you have to be careful with what you stick up there.
Yeah, I almost got one of those vibrating eggs caught up my ass once.
But at least that has a wire and you could pull
out. No, but the problem was is that in my cooked mind years ago, I started pulling the wire and it started fraying.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to have an egg stuck up my ass.
Wow.
And luckily, the girl who was there understood and tried, and we ended up easing it out. But that was frightening.
How embarrassing, too, if it got stuck in there.
Because I'm not going to... Listen, when you're in a rock band that sold records, you're not going to the fucking emergency room. I can tell you that right now. I will have some way... I'd call my tech and bring some needle-nose pliers. I am not going to an emergency room. No way. I don't need any TMZ on that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now. No, thank you.
Yeah, but you know, Yvette, going back to porn, I mean, you love sex, right?
Right.
So this will give you an opportunity to get a lot of it, because that's, I mean, you know, Susie, how we
stalked
a couple.
She's picky.
I'm kind of picky.
Yeah, but you can be picky on porn. That's what
not
I'm saying.
Really.
Yeah, but she can get laid every day.
Yeah, she can.
Yeah, I mean, what makes you think I'm not getting laid a lot?
Well he kind of made it seem that way.
Well, I could.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I think he made it seem that she wants more.
Yeah.
What?
I think he made it seem like she wants to get a lot more. She wants more variety.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
No, because he said we're trying to get her laid.
Yeah.
That's why I thought maybe she's been here for a while.
No, I'm just sick of fucking her.
I need a break.
I need a break. I need a break. It's a lot to handle.
I keep going and going. He does it like three times. I'm like, come on, two more times. He's like,
I can't.
Yeah,
I don't have that in me anymore. I just, I'm going to be 41 this year. I don't have that energy anymore.
You know what? That's why I'm dating a younger man, and it's bullshit, because I mean, like, one and he's done, and he's like, night.
How old is he?
He's 23.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Oh, lordy, but Gordy.
I know.
23 and he can't. What?
It's good once.
Get rid of him.
Well, that's what everyone says.
Yeah, get rid of him.
For different reasons.
You should go out with a 41-year-old like myself.
Really?
Well, at least fuck me.
I don't think I've ever done a 41-year-old.
Yeah? We could take care of it after the show.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm getting spanked on multiple occasions today for multiple reasons.
Yes, why not?
It's in my future.
Yeah.
And to think Yvette didn't want to talk today and come on the show.
Yeah.
She just wanted to sit here
Everybody
quietly
wants
in the corner.
I wanted to be for him.
And you know, on the way over, I was like, you know, I'm going to talk about you on the radio, so you be ready. Oh, no, don't. Okay, see?
No, nobody comes in the studio and doesn't talk, you know? So we've had a lot of people not wanting to get on the mic, but no, there's nothing to it, you know? Nothing to it, yeah.
Yeah.
There's only a few tens of thousands of people listening.
Excellent.
That's about it.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to bring my dad and his girlfriend and his girlfriend's mom to the show tomorrow night.
I'll set you up on a guest list. Whoever you want to bring, I really hope you come down because it's a lot of fun.
I'm
it
not
really
going to tell them. I'm going to tell them we're just going to a comedy club. I'm not going to tell them like the details of it. Yeah. So if you could do that, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, and but I'll give you my info. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and hopefully you probably end up coming back. You know, we're doing it every week, so
awesome.
Just on the comics alone and everything like that, it's a cool show. Although we do give away dildos and stuff, it is a really cool, fun show, and the comics are absolutely hilarious.
Mm. So. Well, I'm coming for multiple reasons then.
Yes. You're coming to see me, I hope.
Yes, yes.
Are you bringing the boyfriend, you said?
No, my dad and his girlfriend and the girlfriend's mom.
Oh, good, good.
It's going to be a family
you
affair.
You want to sleep over then? After?
Maybe, let's see.
He's practically fucked you already.
No, let me tell you something.
He's halfway in. Let me say hi. Just
could,
the tip.
She could tell you, once I put the target on something,
oh, yeah.
It's pretty much, until I get
he's
it, I'm gonna hound you.
I think he asked for my phone number in like the second email.
Yeah, and then I fucked her on the third email, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, men are like that. Yeah.
Not all like men, though.
But at least I'm honest up front.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but men, for the most part, are fucking horny all the time, you know? I mean, it's just the
but
way
I
it
am
is.
Too, though.
Me
no,
too.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
see?
True. But you see, but maybe most women are not. I mean, we think about it constantly.
I do,
you
too. Know?
I'm a little
do
fired you? Up because I didn't rub one
well,
out
I'm not
today.
Saying that you don't. Yeah. Well, you yeah. can, we
do
have a
now.
Bathroom right
do
here.
Here.
She actually asked me, on it, so you jerked off to him? I'm like, no, no. Yeah. I was too busy in the morning having a coffee, getting, you know.
Something's got to go. You know, I... Sometimes the first thing I do before I leave the house,
yeah.
I will actually be late for work. You know, like the shower will go before, you know, yeah. got to take care of business.
You know, honestly, it definitely puts you in a better mood.
It does.
I mean,
it's the best
to get one out, you know, you just like, oh, okay, now I can get on.
Then
with the
you're
day.
Sitting in traffic and you're just like, life is good.
It doesn't matter.
Everyone else around you is like, fucking LA traffic, I hate it. And I'm like, I love LA.
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
so wonderful, this yeah. traffic.
Well, you guys could rub it out right in the car anyhow. Yeah. So
I know. I actually got pulled over doing that once. I had my leg out the window. I was driving cross country in a miniskirt. And I had my panties like, you know, on the seat next to me. And the cop comes over and he's like, just give me one good reason, young lady. What the? And the vibrator's like, sitting like zzz, like under the panties, and he's like, really? Oh my god, have a nice day.
Yeah,
please, do you marry me, please? This is a great one here. I like her.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
yeah.
fun.
Well, that's why she's on the radio.
Yeah. And I always think that, in all honesty, I think that's the hottest thing in the world when you drive past a girl. She's got her leg up, even though she's not touching it,
right.
anything, but just the leg up alone gets me
when you
crazy.
Think, yeah, the legs are spread and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's very hot.
I love the wind, just like that channels yeah. like down my leg and just kind of like sweeps in and keeps, oh, the circular, yeah. oh, man,
for
amazing.
The record, Susie is spreading her legs right in front of everybody.
Yes.
But she does have pants.
She's calling him.
Unfortunately, her pants are on, yeah. yes.
But you know what? Even if she had her usual dress, she would still do it for yeah. you. Yeah. She has no problem with yeah. that at all.
Well, no, so. It's actually, it's not my fault. I actually have very loose hips that I can't keep my legs closed. No, I'm no,
turning Phil on. Look
no,
please.
You guys, so I'm very it. Serious about this. I have a hip problem. It actually takes a lot of like inner thigh strength for me to keep my legs closed. So they naturally just like they fall open.
Oh my God.
So God put her...
Well, she can flip her legs over her
the funny part about this whole thing is that she knows exactly what's going through
I
my
do,
brain right
I
now.
Do.
So
I'm
she knows I'm dying.
But I'm not saying this to be sexual. Like I have loose hip joints.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I like that.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, God gave you this because he knew you needed to spread your legs.
And you know, one of the things is... Well, guys like me, we need that because, you know, we need area to get into.
Yeah.
With the girth. And some girls keep it closed.
Yeah.
I hate that when you got to kind of pry it. It's
yeah.
weird.
I don't know about girls that keep it closed. I only remember that from when I was in my teens.
Yeah.
Ever since then, they've never been closed before.
Yeah, it's usually with the younger girls because they're a little timid. You come out, you know, they got this thing looking at them in the face and like, where are you going to put that?
Yeah,
and
well, I wouldn't know.
Don't
I don't
point
get
that
the
thing
young
at
girls.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. I don't get the young girls anymore.
Oh, you
so
don't? Why not?
But you're still a rocker, so.
Yeah, that's why. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, there you go.
You ever hear my band?
I'll be your wing girl. Come on, let's go out. Your wife's out of town.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'm actually open, yeah.
Actually, Sam, why don't you come to the show tomorrow night? I'm going to, like, I'm totally, my dad's girlfriend told me to plan something.
No, I'm going to that show tomorrow.
Night. If you go,
there's probably going to be 20 porn stars there.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm not crazy about porn stars.
These
are
hot.
But what you talking about, I mean, the whole package
sounds
very interesting.
What about the fear leaders?
They're just going to be in the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and we have the fear leaders there.
What's that?
They're the fear leaders. Well, the L.A. Roller Derby team, the female, they are the cheerleaders for that team.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they're coming down, and they're going to like be the hosts of the show, in a sense, like with the crowd. They're going to hand out free shots and you know, and free stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You can have one of them. Yeah. I always wanted to be one of those roller girls.
Yeah.
I could be badass and hardcore.
Yeah.
And wear a short skirt with your underwear
sticking
out. Fuck
yeah. Well, that's every day, but
it's true.
If you have roller skates, can you come over?
I don't have roller skates, but you know what? I'm gonna invest in a pair.
Sweet. Right, I'll buy them for you. You want to sleep over? I like a good sleepover, though.
Yeah, sleepovers are good. Yeah, sleepovers are really fun.
I like a, you know, a little pillow fight in our underwear.
Are we going to stay up? Are we going to stay up past the bedtime?
Probably not.
Bedtime is the whole night when you sleep over. Yeah.
Oh, no. I have to be in bed by 9:30.
You do?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Or else I turn into a bad, bad girl.
So let's get in bed around 6.
Yvette, you know, I really have to rest my head between your boots. I mean, I can't leave here without it.
For God's sake, let him nuzzle you.
Yeah, but let me describe to the listeners, okay? You're what, like a D? D size? Yeah.
Like a D?
Okay.
Well, that is okay. A D.
That's another duh. Yeah. Duh.
Well, I'm not good with sizes, but anyway. So she's got D cups, okay? Very low cleavage. You do have a bra, but it just...
She's not wearing a bra.
Oh, so what is this underneath? Let me see.
That's big tits underneath.
Oh, you just got pasties over your nipples.
No, I see her nipple. They're staring right at me.
I'm not wearing a bra.
Oh, there's something there that looks like you have something. Okay, because that's what
it's
I thought.
It's a shirt.
Oh, it's a shirt.
It's the ruffles that you think are covering the nips.
Look, there's something right there that goes like this. It's a rectangle. Look on this side.
Oh, it's just a shirt?
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Sam.
Okay. Sorry.
Why don't you get closer, Sam?
I definitely have to rest my head there, man. Just, you know.
Come here, Sam.
You know, Phil, you know, you want to put your head in between and go boom.
Trust me, I've done more than that.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, you want to do more than that with this.
I want to go, mama.
They're very large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you see, I love that, and I love what Susie has. I mean, they both have their own magic.
And that's what you got to do. You got to keep the variety around.
Yeah.
You know, keep 1, 2, 3 girls. So you can have big tits one day. You can have beautiful, I don't want to say little, but they're gorgeous.
No, they're small.
Viva la
Madonna
difference.
With meatballs, as they say.
Actually, we had a guest on the show a while back for promoting a cause for Go Topless, National Go Topless Day. And so Sam and I actually went down and I did the march topless with just beer caps over my nipples and marched from Santa Monica to Venice with all the other topless chicks.
Sweet.
It was really nice. Except for the fact that I got sunburn on my boobs and they just finally have recovered. But yeah, so that would have been a good event for you to come to.
Yeah, they might not fit over my nipples.
No, they had pasties for every kind, every size nipple.
Yeah.
I would have done it.
Yeah.
You should call me next time.
They had pasties that looked like nipples, so you could have put them right on.
That's even funnier.
Yeah, it is. You should go on our website. We have a comic book with the pictures on there.
Oh, that's good.
So you can tell.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. Yeah,
but I actually, speaking of pasties, not that this is the same, but one of my sponsors, I Love Vagina, which is a great, great sponsor.
I thought you meant like AA.
This guy almost got into a fight with him at the Go Topless thing.
Oh, really?
He was there with his video camera, yeah. I'd seen him at Erotica LA also.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. He started pissing me off, picking on my son.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and telling me go fuck you. He's like bald-headed kind of, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, stocky.
He's not. Maybe he's. Maybe,
maybe
it's a different
that's the
person.
Other guy. Maybe that's
the other guy. Yeah, because of my guy. But they just gave me a something that I thought was hilarious. It's stencil to shave your pussy.
Oh,
nice!
Yeah. So it's a whole kit, and we're going to give those away as well at the show. And you put the stencil on your pussy. It comes with a comb and a scissor.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know what? That's awesome. I was in Vegas visiting my family like 2 weeks ago, and you know. I'd been actually growing in things down there for a while. And my sister she said, you know, you better make sure you get a wax before you come visit. And I was like, no, it's a mature muff only this weekend. But so I actually did like the home like wax kit by myself. But a stencil would have been so much more helpful.
Yeah, definitely. And you could get really nice looking heart out of it. I don't know. There's like probably like 5 or 6 stencils in there.
You could get the initials of the guy that you're going to be with, too.
Yeah,
so what's your last name?
That would be PV, actually.
There you go.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm telling you, do you swing at all?
You know what? I don't think I ever have, but okay. I've always been curious and kind of interested in it.
I'm pretty sure your boyfriend's not going to mind. We got to talk about this afterwards. I'm going to send Yvette over to his house.
Yeah,
and everything
I'm blushing.
Will be fine. I send that.
But he's only
block.
One time though. He can only go one time, and he's 23.
Yeah.
He needs some training or something.
Trust me, I try.
You got to get rid of him.
Yeah. You got to come over to here.
But what? but what if the one time takes lasts 2 hours?
That's then bullshit. What? It doesn't, though. Does it?
No.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe not for her.
No, for her. I'm
yeah. Because you see, I don't like to go multiple times, but I like to go a long time.
Yeah.
You know. So
I like either way. Yeah. Works for me. Yeah. I'm really fortunate that I can come on command.
Yeah. That's awesome because I like a boy who can. Good boy. Yeah. Good boy.
I was with this girl the other night, and she. I guess she's. taking this medication that's not giving her a great sex drive.
Right.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
And she's also like,
poor
not,
baby.
And she's not like wet. So we had some issues. Yeah. So I was going. And she's like, you got to come. Mm-hmm. Like now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like that. Or I could have went for another hour or two. It doesn't matter, you know. So it actually works in my favor. But kind of bums because we were into it for like 10, 15 minutes. It wasn't enough time. So.
Yeah.
But if you're having like sex in like a, I don't know, a public place or something, and I mean, you know what I mean? You just want it to be like really exciting and quick. And and then sometimes like it'll take the guy forever. And then it's just like, okay, people are now coming into the bathroom.
Yeah. No, I can pump you 10 times and come or, you know, 20,000. It doesn't matter to me.
Wow.
You call it.
That's impressive.
It is.
Well, I try.
Yeah.
It's been years of doing it.
Lady pleaser.
You know what? It is about the girls too. I'm not a selfish guy. I'll get the cum out of you first before I go.
Now I actually.
You seem very selfish to me hitting on her like this.
I'm not hitting on her, am I?
He is with all this fancy cum talk. Yeah.
You're ready to fuck her right here. What are you talking
in
about?
In a second. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Now, I didn't end up sleeping with this guy, but I kind of picked him up, or we picked up each other down at the pier in Santa Monica. And he was older. He was like 38, 39. And so I ended up going out on like one date with him. But tell me if you've ever done this. He has not physically ejaculated in 20 years.
What?
Yes. He only has like, I don't know, like an internal orgasm. But I mean, to me, you know, I kind of like the end when, you know, it's all over your face or I don't know, wherever.
It's hot.
But so I was wondering if you've ever done that or ever experienced that.
No,
not
ejaculated. 20 years he has not come. Well, not ejaculated.
The only way you can do that is if you have a finger up your ass and you're getting the guy's spot.
Really?
Yeah. And then you could come, because you come on the sphincter, whatever the fuck the G spot, the male G spot, will make you come.
The prostate.
But you don't ejaculate. So I've done, like, you know, well, I don't want to get into, well, then again, I had a vibrating thing up my ass, so we all know that. The listeners know already that I like a little.
I don't know what it is you guys and asses. You know?
Well, we're ass
stay
people.
Away. Yeah, there you go. You know, and that's good. Somebody has to appreciate the ass. You know, because I'm definitely not a big fan at all.
No,
but even my own. You know.
Yeah.
It just. I mean, it's traumatic.
Have you tried it?
It's traumatic for me every time I go to the bathroom.
But have you ever tried? Has any woman ever tried to play with your ass or anything?
They wanted to, but no. No,
this
I
one's
won't do it.
You get a finger up your ass in 2 seconds with this one.
Well, then I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I'm like, can I get my jeans off first? You know? Jesus.
Oh, no.
No, nothing up my ass, man. And it's not about the gay thing.
It has nothing to do
with
that.
I don't like the ass, period. You know, I just think it's a nasty area. But I admire when people find it erotic, like you, you know? I mean, it's amazing. It really is, you know. So, and that's the difference between people, you know.
Right.
That's cool. But I'd love to watch you fucking. You know? It'd be awesome. Yeah.
This is like this is no segue Friday.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'd love to watch you fucking.
Yeah.
I need to put my head in your tits.
Yeah. I'm not even taking breaks. It's
tell
just
you,
sunny
tell me
out.
How you feel.
We'll
I'm
go
just,
on
tell
forever.
Tell me what you want, really.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. You see, you could go to 97.1 and talk
like
this.
No, I couldn't.
Yeah.
Who the hell wants to do that?
Yeah, yeah, boring.
Yeah. There you
it's
go.
Boring.
Yeah, we're LA Talk Radio. Don't forget. Yeah.
I'm surprised St. Louis Steve hasn't called in yet to say hello to our lovely lady guest.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Well.
Oh, well.
Well.
I'm sure I'll get a Facebook message from him later.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. So how do you guys earn a living, Phil? Well, what do you do? I mean, the thing you do tomorrow, do you make money off of that?
Yeah, and I used to have a fortune. That's why I have two ex-wives. So they took that and a bad restaurant. But no, I made money in the music business and I have a movie and stuff like that.
Were you seriously married?
That was twice. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I thought
absolutely.
You were joking.
No, no, no. Wow. Oh, there's nothing to joke about there.
No, but what was there to what was the rush? I mean, you were on the road and all that.
Well, my first wife was when I was younger. You know, we were we got married. I was like 22, I think 23, and she's great. You know, we're really close friends. We have two kids together, and they live in Florida. And then my recent wife, I don't know what the hell it was, you know, I'm still trying to figure that one out.
You don't
out.
Know what you were thinking, huh?
Not much, apparently. So we're just going to chalk that one up as a mulligan, as they say. A do-over.
Oh, no.
So, that was a little weird. So, and again, it was, you know, I met her under certain circumstances in the swinging lifestyle. And it was, you know. So I'm going to stay single.
But the swinging lifestyle does not does not last, right? I mean, as far as marriages,
oh no, it does. If people are honest with each other, and you got to be a swinger to be in a swinging relationship,
right.
You can't tell the other person that are and not be. And I think that's the problem. And that was a problem with us. When you claim to be something that you're not, especially with swinging, because it's such a thing. That's part of my life. Like to be with me. Not to say that I'm the greatest thing in the world, but I am up front. I'm like, listen, if you're gonna, this is what happens, and the person has the choice at that point to bow out and go, fuck this, I don't want any part of it, which I totally respect. I don't get hurt by that, because there's plenty of people that are cool with it, you know. And the swinging lifestyle is a great lifestyle if you go do it the right way. Absolutely. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm sure it has ruined things.
I think, you know, since you're dealing with people here, probably at a certain point there might be
some animals
that I've never done.
Sorry, Sam.
No, meaning that that people have emotions, you know.
Oh, okay.
So I think I think eventually there might be jealousy on one, you know, on one side or something. Not you necessarily, but with swingers, and where it's going to throw off the balance.
Well, you know? I can honestly tell you that there is a bit of jealousy in swinging, because I don't think if you didn't have
any
jealousy,
but that kind of makes it exciting.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The fetish of swinging to me is I like to watch my girls get fucked.
Oh,
so
wow.
I like to watch that. I like to, when they go out and fuck somebody and they come home and tell me about it during sex, I like that.
Really?
Yeah, I have
so
that.
So you are a true swinger.
Yeah, so, and like I would have, like, if she was going out to, you know, fuck a guy, I'd like tell her to make him come on her stomach, and then when she came home, I'd blow a load on top of his just to be the king of the mountain.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that, you know, we just, but I'm secure.
Man, you're a sick bastard.
Right. But, you know, when you have a cock like mine, you can do this stuff.
Okay.
So, no, but that was part of the fun of swinging for me. So there was jealousy, and it's not jealousy, but more of excitement. It outweighed, and when you have this understanding with your spouse, with your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, on swinging, and you have somewhat of rules, because even when her and I started having sex, I was, you know, still married, and I would tell her, like, you know, this is, and we were, she knew I was married, she knew who my wife was, everything like that.
She
and
emailed me, the wife.
Really?
Yeah, like, hey, I'm glad you had fun with my husband, yada, 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 but the thing is that
tell him to be home for dinner, pretty much.
And really, pretty
it's
much.
It's okay that you can have him, you know, have fun, blah, 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 and I'm like,
So you can go have sex with another woman without telling your wife first?
No. I didn't have to. I didn't have to cheat.
Right.
That, you know, when I was married, you don't have to cheat. You just,
well, I know, but you have to tell them first.
Well, I would say, or I would like be out. Like, for instance, she went out to a club one night, right? So she ended up blowing some guy in the bathroom.
I see. Okay.
She came home. She's like, "Honey, guess what I did?" And you know, like that.
So she doesn't need your permission.
At all. But if I was like, "Hey, I'm going to go bang Yvette," she would know.
Yeah.
I'd say, "Hey, I'm going to go over there right now," and she'd go, "Okay."
Now, have you ever gone to, like, I don't know, I saw an episode of Nip Tuck once, and it kind of got me all hot and bothered. Like a swingers party.
Yeah.
Like where they're just all different kinds of rooms and all just different kinds of couples and
you
people
see,
that
I've
are
been
in
to
there.
Those. I've been to those in Vegas. I don't know. Your swinger, have you ever gone to places in Vegas?
Yeah, I haven't done the Vegas thing, but...
there's a place called the Red Rooster. I don't know if it still exists. You have heard of it?
I've heard of it,
And in fact, I was like a... that was my second home for a while. And I was single. I mean, I was amazed that they let single guys actually go in there. But and there was still a balance between
sometimes
the people.
Sometimes they don't. But it depends on
on the but that
club.
Particular place did.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing thing, you know. And we were sort of like going to do a business, and I was going to do like... remember I told you about that interactive CD-ROM? Like, you know, that was back then when people were excited about all this technology, and... I wanted to do sort of like build their house, and then you travel through the house and see people fuck and, you know, whatever your fantasies are.
Yeah.
So at any rate, so they just let me go there all the time, and I had the best time of my life.
Yeah.
Now, I can tell you this. One time I decided to take a girl with me. We went there, and there's no way that I could do it or see her do it. So we just went into a bedroom and did it ourselves, you know?
No, that's the fun of it to me.
Did you masturbate when you were alone when you went?
Masturbate? No, I fucked people there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
every
time.
Okay, nice.
Every
time, you were just treating it as your own personal whorehouse.
Yeah exactly.
You dirty man.
But what I'm saying
is... selfish bastard.
There you go. But what I'm saying is I would have a problem with it taking a woman with me.
Yeah, no, I've gone to parties before. I
want
to
go.
I prefer... I'm actually... Trust me.
Don't get him going.
I prefer private ones because when the swinger community is... it's a big community, but then there's like a tight-knit one that's a very private one.
Tight.
So you go to these...
How tight, Phil?
Very tight. So you know. You're tight as shit. You go to like private mansions and stuff, but in all honesty, I've been in those situations, and having a lot of people having a lot of people around you kind of gets a little weird. In all honesty, I like to have if there's like six friends around, it's cool. But when you get into like 40 couples, and you know you got dicks double parked on your shoulder, you don't know what's going on around there. It gets a little crazy. We were at a hotel party, and we had there's like five or six of us that we were used to fucking each other, and then there was like another like five or six couples, and they were kind of like on the couch watching like it was some kind of weird, you know, game show or something.
And that got a little weird when they start watching
It is weird when you don't really know them, you know, and then all of a sudden like they come over and they're kind of like, you know, they brush up against your dick, and then before you know it, the wife is blowing you, know, it gets, you know, but I don't know.
I mean, this chick like at that club, she sort of like picks me up at the jacuzzi and everything. Her husband's there, so I'm starting to fuck her, and he's like kissing her and all that stuff. And you know, I'm so into it, and suddenly I look up, and all these people are sitting around watching us.
Yeah,
and I'm going, what the fuck?
You know? See, I kind of like when people watching.
I know you do.
I do too. Yeah. I agree.
To me, it's like I don't mind a few people that I kind of know and you're comfortable, and that's where those smaller parties are good for, because you meet some people and you pair off and you have some good times. It's just when it's like a gigantic gathering, it's a little weird.
Yeah, like an orgy,
I go up to Vancouver a lot. I've got a lot of friends up there, and you know, there's a group of like 20 of us, and everyone pretty much has like their boyfriend in the group or their husband or whatever. And there's no swinging per se, but this is where you know, we do a lot of ecstasy and like GHB and you know, ketamine, usual. It's not an orgy or it's not like a swinger party, but people are definitely like very touchy, very all over it, but it's very comfortable because you know what I mean? Everyone knows each other, and you know, it's not like freaky. So like, I could have been making out with my boyfriend or like fooling around with him in the corner, and like it would have been fine. And you know, everyone was just kind of like doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But so that's like the closest I've ever come to being at a party like that.
Yeah. But you got to remember too, swinging is sex.
Right.
Like what everybody's missing the point on swinging is that it's not emotions.
Right.
So you know, you're not trying to date your friend's wife, you just want to fuck her.
Right.
Big difference.
Right.
You know, I don't actively pursue, I never did, my friends, girlfriends, and wives.
Right.
Why should I? They come over and we fuck.
Right.
You know, I don't need a relationship. You have your spouse with you. You know, you have that. That's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really got caught up in that, although it does happen. I've heard it happening before. But, I just like to have sex and have fun and not, you know, have drama hooked to it. So that's all that, you know, once there's drama, it's like you can get laid anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't care, you know. Yeah. So I'm really hoping that we have no drama, because I want to definitely get on you a few times.
All right. And on that note, guys, we got to wrap up.
I know you thought. Oh,
damn it, I thought I was in there.
No. She's like, don't stop.
Yvette was just going to take her tits out. All right, we got to go.
I know. I was hoping. Shit, you know.
Are you serious? We're out of time?
Yeah.
Oh, this is bullshit.
Damn it.
Yeah. Well, you guys will definitely have to come back, you know?
Oh, hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. You fuck Susie, I'll fuck her.
I will.
Everybody's
happy. I can only hope.
Yeah.
Can we bring a video camera?
I'm no horse, but you won't be disappointed. I
send
promise
photos
you,
first.
I mean,
email me.
I fucking broke women's heart because of my dick. So, you know,
from their pussy? That's amazing.
Yeah, there you go. I can do it. Okay, so you guys go ahead, Phil, plug your show again.
Yeah, the Sex Stand Up and Rock and Roll Show every Saturday night, 10 p.m., the Cat Club on Sunset, directly across from Hustler Store. And you can go to myspace.com/PhilVarone and say hello and see my schedule. Absolutely.
Awesome.
And my movie's called Waking Up Dead as well. The information for my movie's on there. It's out in stores on DVD.
Oh,
it's
really?
On, yeah, it's on Amazon. It's, it's on,
cool.
At, what is it, the Virgin Megastores, all that stuff. Yeah.
Right.
We can only hope.
It's all around there.
Yeah.
So
good. An accomplished man?
Well, you know,
got certain
I'll
things.
Find
trying
out.
And I'm on. I actually just did an episode of Californication on Showtime, so that's going to be on this year. Yeah.
What did you do
with
there?
David Duchovny?
Did you have like a role or something?
Yeah, I played a hungover rock star. It was a stretch for me.
Something
so,
new
with a bunch of groupies.
Not an overhung rock star.
was that in the first season or no?
No, it's coming up.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the new season.
Because I saw the first season. It was an awesome show.
It's a great. It's one of my favorite shows. And when I got the call to do the show, I was so excited because is my favorite show.
And yeah, it's a sexual show, Susie, by the way. You really like it.
It's a great show. And I actually had a scene. I had my scene with Dave Duchovny, so it was very cool.
Really?
So, yeah,
nice,
it was very cool.
Nice. In fact, I was going to suggest that maybe you should check in with him. Because I obviously have similar problems here.
That's pretty shocking. Yeah. But, you know, hey, man, who isn't addicted to internet porn, really?
There you go. Yeah. Or to sex in general.
In general. She is.
I mean, what the fuck?
I am.
Yeah.
I am.
Anyway, and speaking of you, Yvette, why don't you go ahead and plug your website again or whatever?
It's YvetteMarie.com. And I'm also on MySpace, but my name on there is Grapey Babe.
Yeah. It's what?
Grapey Babe.
Grapey Babe.
And the invite to my show is up there.
Okay. If you go to my page, she's on my top friends, too.
Yeah.
Awesome.
She's the hot one.
Well, you guys have definitely been fun.
Thank you. We loved having you here. Thanks for having us.
And we can probably have you in again and
anytime.
Kill another 2 hours.
Yeah. Why not? Anytime.
Yeah. So, okay. And I just wanted to let our listeners know Dr. Michelle is not going to be in live. We're going to have a replay. But she's going to be on Alan Cardoza's show, Answers for the Family, Monday at 11. The show is going to be called Detox.
You can't plug a family show after this.
This was a family show.
Detox the Drama is the name of the show. And this is about teenagers and drug problems and so forth. So, for those of you who like Dr. Michelle, probably don't like us, but they're probably tuned in already. So that is the story there. Susie, thanks so much.
Thank you,
Have
Sam.
Have a great weekend. You're still going to be moving and everything?
I think I'm going to postpone the move for the weekend and just play.
Yeah. Sweet. Go ahead. Tonight. Sounds good to me. Sorry, Aisha.
Said I'll see you tonight.
Sounds good. Okay, everybody, take care. Have a nice weekend, and we'll see you here next week.